changed things a bit, but this morning we've got three parts of a teaching, which does not mean that we're going to go on forever, honest. Now, I wonder, kids particularly, what's the best promise that you've ever received? What's the best promise? Has anyone promised you a present? Has anyone ever promised you a day out? Nobody's ever had a promise.
No.
No. Freddie, what's the best promise you've ever been given?
Jesus.
Jesus' promise. Hey. Did your mummy give you that answer? Well done, Freddie. Anybody else? What's the best promise that you've ever received? Anybody else? I want to tell... Go on, Ollie.
Jesus and like a lasting world.
Do you know, Jesus and an everlasting world. You kids are so spiritual. Because when I was your age, I would have said a bag of toffees or something like that. I want to tell you a story, okay, about a promise. When Sam, our son, was really, really little, Man City, our football team, were really, really rubbish. And that's not a picture of me and Sam, but it could have been. And one day I said to Sam, if Man City ever get to the FA Cup final, I promise that I will do everything that I can to take you there. So in the good old days, you used to buy a diary at the start of the year. And every year, I used to put a special Saturday in May in my diary. And that was FA Cup Saturday. And then one night, somebody phoned up and she said, Gareth, I'd like to ask you a favour. Would you please conduct our daughter's wedding? And I said, I would absolutely love to, no problem at all. When is it? And she gave me the day in May, and it was FA Cup Saturday. And I said to her, I am really, really sorry, but I might be busy on that day. And she said, when will you know? I said, about 4 weeks before. She said, I can't organise a wedding in 4 weeks. I said, I'm really sorry. She said, can you not find out earlier? I said, it's not that simple. But you see, a promise is a promise. And so what they did is they changed the whole date of the wedding. And then Man City played their first match and got knocked out. And so at the wedding, I told this story about what do you build your life on? Firm foundations or just foolish hopes? I want to speak today about the promise of the Holy Spirit. But first of all, it's worth asking the question, what is the Holy Spirit? And I want to take you on a very, very, very quick tour of the Bible. So, kids, does anybody know, because you are so spiritual, when the Holy Spirit is first mentioned in the Bible? Do you think it's some way in? We find that the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the very first verse. And in the very first verse it says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The picture there, it's almost like a dove, isn't it? Hovering as you'd find a bird above a nest, just waiting for life to break out. And so when God established everything that we see and appreciate, who was there? The Spirit of God waiting to see what God would do. We find that God created a great deal of things, animals and plants. He separated the water from the earth. But then it says this, that God breathed into the nostrils of man his breath, his life. And the language in which this part of the Bible is written in is called Hebrew. And in the language of Hebrew, breath and spirit are interchangeable. So this passage says that God breathed spirit into Adam, and Adam became a living being. That which was dead now became alive. We've just sang, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is life, and there's hope, and there's liberty. Because the Spirit still does what the Spirit always has. Now kids, what do you think this is a picture of? We know it's two hands, but what do you think one hand is doing to the other? Anybody? Reaching out? Reaching out to encourage? Reaching out to support? We have a phrase, don't we? To give a helping hand. And all the way through the Old Testament, what we would find is the Spirit of God would give a helping hand to this person and to that person and to the other person. And the Spirit of God would help these people do things with him that they couldn't without him. Help this person become a craftsman. Help this person speak the Word of God. Now, we find, however, that there is still a promise. We started looking at promises. And some of these people who the Spirit is helping start to speak about what God will do. And we find one man, Joel. He says that one day the Spirit will come, not just for you and for him and for her, but the Spirit of God will come on old and young and rich and poor and men and women. And we find this other man, Jeremiah, he speaks and says that one day God's laws will not be written in a book or on tablets of stone, but God's will be written upon our hearts. Then this other man, Ezekiel, says that God says that his promise is that he will put his Spirit within us. So the question is how? And Isaiah tells us how. He says that God would send a saviour and the Spirit of God would help him in order that he could preach good news to the poor, in order that prisoners would be set free. And you know who that man is? That man is Jesus. And it says that Jesus was baptised, and it says that the Spirit descended, came down upon him like a dove, rested and remained upon him. Do you remember Genesis chapter 1? The dove that hovered above the waters. The Spirit of God rested and remained upon him. And so Jesus went to a place a little bit like this. And he quoted these words that were spoken 600 years before. And he says, I'm the one. I'm the one that God is helping. I'm the one that God is enabling to heal the sick and to bring his words, to bring freedom and hope and liberty. Now kids, who reckons that they could blow that candle out? If that was a real candle, not a digital picture, who reckons that they could blow it out? All of us. One day, Jesus was with his friends, his disciples, and he blew upon them, just as the Spirit had blown the breath of life into Adam. And he said, I want you to receive the Holy Spirit. He was letting them know what would happen, because Jesus said that he needed to leave in order that the Spirit would come. Is that alright? Are you with me so far? We were now going to sing, but we're not, because we've already sang. So we're going to move on to part two. And to part two, we're going to watch a film clip together. And we're going to see what happened after Jesus went back into heaven, after he ascended. We're going to see how the Spirit of God came down, how he descended, just like Jesus had promised. Thank you, Neil. Remember, we spoke about a promise. And we spoke about the promise of the Spirit of God. And God gave his Spirit just as he promised. But the question I want to ask this morning is, what does the Spirit of God do in our lives today? And there's just three things that I want to mention very, very quickly. And the first is this, that Jesus says that it's through the Spirit that we can be born again. Now, I want you to put your hands up if you've ever been born. We've all been born physically, haven't we? But actually, the Bible says that we need to be born again spiritually. That God wants to bring new life, not just to our flesh, but to our spirit. And there he wants to come and to live and to dwell. Now, the second thing that the Spirit does is he brings power. Can you see these? These generate power. How? Because the wind blows through them. And Jesus said, you will receive not a nice tingling sensation, not an opportunity to get together and sing some good songs, but you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you will tell people about me here, there, and everywhere. And if we're going to make Jesus known in the world in which we live, we need his power. And the third thing that the Spirit does, and many of you will remember, we looked at these last year, is he brings fruit, evidence of his work in our life. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it's joy, and it's peace, and it's patience, and there's lots of apples and pears, and something that looks like a cucumber up there, that represent this fruit, this goodness of God in our lives. So, the question remains, what has all this got to do with me? And how can I receive this power of God? Now, we're going to look at that in 1 minute, but first of all, kids who have been colouring, do you want to come and show us what you've been doing? Does anybody want to bring the colouring up? Freddie, do you want to come? Anybody else? Faith, are you coming up? Fantastic. So, Freddie, I put you on top of the ladder, but for health and safety, I can't. Tell us what that is, Freddie. Those look to me like the friends of Jesus receiving the Spirit. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes. Good. And what colours have you used? Lots of colours. There's purple, yeah. There's yellow there. Wow. Do you want to show us what you've done, Faith? Do you want to show us here? Because it says here, can you read that, or do you want me to read it? It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I think that that's really good. And what colour have you done it in?
Yellow.
In yellow, that's superb. Thank you, Faith. And Ollie, what have you done?
Talk about Jesus, God, prayed for God.
We're talking about Jesus and praying for good. That's a good answer. So can we have a big round of applause for our three artists? That would be good. Thank you. So do you remember we looked at the promise of God? That God would help, not just him and her, but that God, by his Spirit, would help us in order that we could be born again, in order that we would receive power. power and in order that the grace of God would be revealed in and through our lives. And so the question again, and we remember what Peter said, that this is not just for some, but this is for old and young, men and women, rich and poor. Now I want to ask, does anyone not qualify for one of those six categories? So essentially what we see is the Spirit of God is given in order that we would receive. Now we've seen right there at the beginning of Genesis, the Spirit of God is represented by breath. We see at the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God is represented by fire. But Jesus also speaks about the Spirit of God being represented by water. And in Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says this, that you need to be being filled. And so I need some young volunteers, because we need to do some filling this morning. Is that all right? So if you want to help me teach the old people lessons, if you want to come forward, that'll be great. And I'm going to ask, if you want to take your shoes and socks, forget it, come on. All right, anyone else, anyone young who wants to help teach, if you want to get a cup each, okay, we need some more volunteers. We really do. Ella and Jazz, would you come for? We need some more volunteers. We really do. Okay. Okay. Any more? Brilliant, Theo. Thank you. If you hold these over the paddling pool, that would be really good. But I'm going to show you something. So I'm going to say this, that the Bible says that we need to be being filled with the Spirit. And so you've got a little bit, and you've got a lot, and you've got a splash, and you've got, right, nearly full, a little bit, and bit of a problem.
What?
We're running on empty. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe that that's how the promise of God works? Someone gets a little, someone gets a lot, and someone gets none because we're running on empty. I'm going to ask, have I got a glamorous volunteer called Daniella? Daniella, I think you'll find a larger receptacle outside which would be very helpful. So I could do with a few more volunteers. Any more?
Yeah.
Young or old, please help. Okay, thank you. So, it goes like this. Oh, there's a bit splashed actually. And there's a bit more. And there is a bit more. But Ollie? What do you mean, no? And it's all missed. And so is that how the Spirit of God works?
Yeah.
Where he runs on empty. Daniela, I think there's something else that might be of help outside. Okay, if you're going to spill it in there. Oh no. Okay. So we might have a bit of a problem here because we have water, we've got hose pipes, and we've got electrical equipment. Okay. But I want to teach you something. And I don't want you just to remember the fireworks that ensue in 5 minutes from now. Okay. I want you to learn a really serious lesson. That the Spirit of God is poured out on whom? On old and young and men and women, and rich and poor. And when the Spirit of God... So, the Spirit of God is being poured out here, kids. So the question is, who wants to receive the blessing? You want to receive the blessing? Come and receive the blessing, Ollie. Ollie, put your cup underneath. So you see, the Spirit of God that's poured out isn't just for some, but the Spirit of God is for all. And the Spirit of God isn't limited by our receptacles. The Spirit of God isn't limited by our lives. The Spirit of God isn't limited by where we live or how we live. But we receive the Spirit when we choose to position ourselves underneath the blessing of God. Now kids, can I have your attention a minute? You've been magnificent. Ollie, let's just not have the fire engine 1 minute. Okay. So do you hear what we're saying? There's a serious lesson in all of the madness, isn't there? So the question is, who wants to position them in such a place, in such a way, where they don't just get a splash of God, but actually they're overwhelmed by God? That's God's plan for you, and that's God's plan for me. That we're not people who get a little bit wet, but we're people who are overwhelmed with His goodness and His grace and His love. And we actually have a couple of choices. What we can do is we can leave here and remember the kids getting wet. Or we can leave and we can remember the lesson. And this week we can position ourselves in such a way where we say, Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit? Just like a cup. We can make the shape of a cup. Would you fill me with your Spirit in order that I would receive your goodness, and I would receive your blessing, in order that I would receive your power, in order that I would be someone who's much, much more like Jesus. Is that okay? So why don't we stand and we're going to sing, but we're going to sing in response. And I want to leave each of you that challenge. That this week, we would position ourselves in order that we would receive the overflow of God. Kids, I just want you to be still for a moment. You...